हरे राम
So now, Devayani has been insulted by Sarmishta, and she has decided she's not going back into the capital until something is done. So, having heard about this, Sukracharya comes out to speak with his daughter, and then coming, then he finds her in a state of grief. Right? And so he then, you know, tries to inspire her, and she, after giving an indication of what the difficulty is, then spoke. Oh, hear all that Sarmishta, the daughter of Vishaparvan, hath said unto me. Really hath she said that thou art only the hired chanter of the praises of the Asura king. You don't need those speakers. Even thus has she, that Sarmishta, Vrishaparvan's daughter, spoken to me with reddened eyes these piercing and cruel words. Thou art the daughter of one that ever chanteth for hire the praises of others, of one that asketh for charities, of one that accepteth alms. Whereas I am the daughter of one that receiveth adoration, of one that giveth, of one that never accepts anything as gift. These have been the words repeatedly spoken unto me by the proud Sarmishta, the daughter of Vrishaparvan, with eyes red with anger. If, O Father, I am really the daughter of a hired chanter of praises, of one accepts gifts, I must offer my adorations in the hope of obtaining her grace. Of this I have already told her. Sukra replied, right? Thou art, O Devayani, no daughter of a hired adorer, of one that asketh for alms and accepteth gifts. Thou art the daughter of one that adores none, but one that is adored by all. Vrishaparvan himself knoweth it, and Indra and King Yayati too. That inconceivable Brahma, that unopposable Godhead, is my strength. The self-created himself, gratified by me, has said that I am for I the Lord of that which is in all things on earth or in heaven. Right? Because as Sukra, he's Venus, so actually he has control over all the humans and, you know, whatever goes on the earth. Because so many of the... means every planet has so many karakas, or things that they are in charge of. So many will be there that Venus controls, like one's the senses. So nothing happens without the senses. So therefore you could say as he controls everything, because being in control of the senses, everything is going on by his arrangement. Does that make sense? So of the planets, he's, you know, I mean, each planet is special, right? Without the sun, then nothing will be alive. Right, without the moon, nothing will be nourished. Right, so like this, each one has its sway. So you could say each one is the Lord of, right? But in any case, it's not wrong to say that he's the Lord of the earth. I tell thee truly that it is I who pour rain for the good of creatures, and who nourish the annual plants that sustain all living things. Vaishampayana continued, it was by such sweet words of excellent import that the father endeavored to pacify his daughter, afflicted with woe and oppressed by anger. Right? So here, sweet words of excellent import means they're very intelligent, but they're very sweetly spoken. And it says endeavored to pacify, right? So it wasn't just, so that means he's trying and he's going to endeavor until it's accomplished, right? Not that, okay, I said something, it's done, finished. No, he continues, right? Endeavor is there. This idea, no, the lady should always be satisfied, this and that, good wife is always satisfied, this and that. That is the words of, you know, a not so satisfied or intelligent or useful husband. So the point is, yes, that's what they're endeavoring for, just as the man is supposed to be sensitive and make this endeavor. Right? The man's supposed to be making this endeavor, and because the man makes this endeavor, the woman naturally try to be satisfied. But if the man is doing nothing and then just says the wife's supposed to be satisfied, then what's his purpose? What does he fulfill? Does that make some sense? Yes. You can't understand. How you say? As we mentioned before. Go ahead.
Yeah, but actually, what Shukracharya said that made her pacified.
Pacified means she. See, what's the underlying point here? Is that she's been spoken ill to? Is that the actual point? But what is the point that makes her feel bad? That someone got angry? What?
Insulted her father.
Insulted her father, okay. The position was put down. By insulting the father, the position was dropped. So it's a case of prestige, fame, right? You have the six opulences. So opulence is female. So ladies, they function well in a environment of opulence, whatever it may be. Even if it's renunciation, like the Brahmins, they're renounced. But it's an opulence. Right? The Brahmin ladies are renounced. The other ladies don't have that. They can say, I have more money or more this and that, but they don't have that renunciation. They don't have that knowledge. So that's why, even though they may be more simple and have less saris and less gold and less makeup and less maidservants and a smaller house, but they're respected by those who do have. Right? So it's an opulence, so something must be there. So here they've just simply said, you're just a common beggar. You're praising others for that, then you get your alms, that way you get your keep. But we have our own money, we give in charity, we don't receive anything. Right? So she's basically taken the Brahminical status and placed it like a Shudra. And then maintained the Kshatriya status where it was. Right? So then Sukracharya here then is correcting that by showing that he is beyond that. Not only a Brahmins, he's beyond even just regular Brahmins. Right? So then in that state, then it does well. Does that make sense? So the point is it's, you're dealing with the place, but you have to know what's underneath it. Right? In other words? Right? What is the point? She's saying you are insulted. Okay, so she's upset because that drops her status. Does that make sense? And so Mishra is trying to put her status up. Right? And she's doing it in a very rough way. An inappropriate way. Because Sarmishna was taking her clothes. You should be able to tell the difference between your clothes and someone else's clothes. Right? Of course. Means later we'll find out, you know, that Lord Shiva was going by with Nandi and his wife Parvati. So they felt embarrassed. So they got out of the water very quickly. So they weren't really looking that closely. But if she was more careful, she would have noted it wasn't her cloth. Right? Does that make sense? So, like that, then it could have been avoided, but it wasn't. Okay? So, In other words, he's saying something that deals with the field, but what is the problem in the field, right? There is a field. Everything goes on in the field. But you have to know what's happening in the field. What is the circumstance in the field? What's the mood in the field? What time you're dealing with, past, present, or future in the field? Like we're dealing in the field and saying, yes, so I think here, you know, we should do this and do that and so many things. So what part of the, what time are we dealing with? Right? What?
Future.
Okay. And if we're saying, yes, you know, here was this and that, and so, you know, it's unfortunate all these things are missing, and so what are we dealing with there?
Past.
Same time, you want to get really technical, past and present. But, you understand? So you have to know what you're doing in that. And if I come in this, you know, what is it? Where are these plants? There were plants here. What's going on here? Then it's the same place, same time. Now what? The mood changed. Right? Or let's say I come in here and go, wow, this place is really nice, really peaceful, and very aesthetic. So what am I dealing with here?
Present,
but specifically? Yes, but in the accomplishment, what kind of accomplishment? Appreciative, but is the way, is it sati or kriya? Huh? Sata means its existence. This place exists in a place in peacefulness and beauty, right? Or we go, okay, in here, then we want to bring up more of this, you know, make it, it looks nice here, but this area here is not so good, so let's put in more plants here, and, you know, let's you know, do something with the rocks there. Then what are we doing?
Kriya.
Then it's kriya. We're accomplishing something. Right? And we're saying, you know, okay, so now we're saying we wanted that, now okay, that was what? That was just general, right? Then we're saying, okay, now put this here, put that there. Now what happened?
Kriya.
It's kriya, but now what happened to the mood? Mood change. Now we're giving orders. Right? It becomes imperative, right? Does that make sense? You know, and we'll do all that now, and then in the future you go and check this out and try to get these plants and all those things like that. Right? So then it's getting something done, it's imperative, and now we've clicked into the future. You see? So this is all that's going on. Does this make sense? So if that's given, then they understand. So that's how things work. So Sukracharya has figured out what it is that's going on in her speech. Then making it work. Does that make sense? So what is she talking about? You know? She's talking about the past, the present, and the future. No, the present. You know? She's talking about the mood is not good. She's talking about the accomplishment is the other one is successfully put herself superior to her. Unrightfully. So now, that has to be changed. Right? So that calls into question her existence. And her existence is dependent upon her father, right? Because she's not married. So then that means that calls into his position. Right? As soon as you say he's a bozo, it makes her a bozo. Does that make sense? Yeah. Something like that. Section 79. Sukra continued, "Know then, O Devayani, that he that mindeth not the evil speeches of others conquereth everything." Right? So, but now, did he start off with this?
No.
He's already gratified. Her point is, no, you're not less than her. We're greater than her. Not only are we greater, we're greater than the whole earth and the heavens. Right? Okay, so now she's gratified that the position is in place. Now he can start talking about the attitude. Right? Until that's been corrected, the problem, then only, then one is satisfied, then one can talk. Right? If you open with this, then it's a problem. Then it's you don't understand. Right? Because he's saying, someone who doesn't become bothered. The point is, it's not about being bothered. That's not the problem. The problem is his prestige. Right? So once you've corrected prestige, then you can deal with this. Does that make sense? Oh, know then, O Devyani, that he that mindeth not the evil speeches of others conquereth everything. The wise say that he is a true charioteer who without slackening holdeth tightly the reins of his horses. He therefore is the true man that subdueth without indulging in his rising wrath. Know thou, O Devyani, that him is everything. Oh, that by him is everything conquered who calmly subdueth his rising anger. He is regarded as a man who by having recourse to forgiveness shaketh off his rising anger like a snake casting off his sloth. Right? It means off the skin. He that suppresseth his anger, he that regardeth not the evil speeches of others, he that becometh not angry, though there be cause. Right? If it means if there's no cause, then okay, he's peaceful. But there's cause. That's the meaning of manadena. Amanina, okay, I respect others. But manadena means I'm being disrespected, though I should be respected. Right? Certainly acquire the four objects for which we live, namely virtue, profit, desire, and salvation. Between him that performeth without fatigue sacrifices every month for 100 years, and him that never feeleth angry at anything, he that feeleth not wrath is certainly the higher. Right? Means you can perform so many rituals, do so many nice things, so many austerities, but someone who can just control his anger is better than all that. Does that make some sense? That's why this simple thing, humble, tolerance, always being respectful to others, not desiring respect, and always being absorbed in chanting the holy name. These are, with this, everything's accomplished. Right? By chanting the holy name, the study of all the Vedas is done. That's the best thing a Brahmin can do, better than doing all kinds of sacrifices. Right? He that controls his anger, then is better than having done all these other sacrifices. Right? So controlling the senses, controlling the moods, always chanting, then gives one the highest benefit. Right? Boys and girls, unable to distinguish between right and wrong, quarrel with each other. The wise never imitate them. Devyani, on hearing this speech of her father, said, O father, I know also what the difference is between anger and forgiveness, as regards the power of each. But when a disciple behaveth disrespectfully, he should never be forgiven by the preceptor if the latter is really desirous of benefiting the former. Right? So she's pointing out, okay, that's correct. I understand that point, you know, and I practice. But Sarmishna is a disciple. So therefore, if I really desire her benefit, I won't forgive her, but I'll try to correct her. Because if I forgive her, I'll get the benefit, but she won't. Right? She'll go on in her ignorance, but I'll get the benefit for having forgiven. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, I do not desire to live any longer in a country where evil behavior is at a premium. The wise man desirous of good should not dwell amongst those sinfully inclined men who always speak ill of good behavior and high birth. But there should one live, indeed, that hath been said to be the best of dwelling places, where good behavior and purity of birth are known and respected. Right? Yeah, so in other words, we don't want to stay in places where people just are always speaking bad about others. Right? Speaking bad about others is not correct. And that they appreciate... You know, here he's saying good birth, proper birth. In other words, proper birth is going to come only if there's proper lifestyle, right? Men and women are living properly, therefore then they'll be proper children, right? They'll be born properly. Does that make sense? means they live a pure life, so the birth of the children will be pure. So those who appreciate that, amongst those persons you should associate and live. And amongst those who don't appreciate that, that say, oh, it doesn't matter, oh, all my children are born according without Garbhodan and they turned out fine, those are the kind of people you don't want to associate with. You understand? Because they don't appreciate the lifestyle. It's not, that's a symptom. Does that make sense? In other words, it's not the point, oh, they don't appreciate that. That's not actually the point. That's a symptom of someone who doesn't appreciate appropriate lifestyle. Right? If you don't appreciate a pure lifestyle, then you won't appreciate the results of a pure lifestyle. Does that make some sense? Yes.
Was the demon's capital like that?
Was the demon's capital like that means?
Means if Shukracharya was living there, so then.
So was it? Well, basically, up to this point, that it seems that their things were being done properly because Shukracharya was respected and his daughter's respect, his family was respected. But unfortunately, because they're demons, then when something goes wrong, then there's always a problem. Wrong, as long as everything's going right, then they can follow everything nicely because they know the pious way of living will give them a good result. But as soon as something goes wrong, they don't depend upon the Lord. They immediately take up their own path, which is not generally good. So here, because this has come up, then in a place that nothing happens like that, then this coming up and in such a strong way, then it makes it unfit to live, right? Does that make sense? So Devayani continues. The cruel words uttered by Vrishabhavan's daughter burned my heart, even as men desirous of kindling a fire burn the dry fuel. I do not think anything more miserable for a man in the three worlds than to adore one's enemies, blessed with good fortune, but himself possessing none. It hath been indeed said that by the learned, that for such a man even death would be better. Yeah, in other words, you're sitting there and having to be nice and everything to your enemies, then they have all fortune and all that. Right? But that means dependent. Right? Sometimes it may be used as a political tool that something goes wrong, so you're not in a strong position, so you deal with that, but it's not a good position to be in, so no one should remain there. Does that make sense? It may be used, but it should one not remain there, and one should be endeavoring to correct that situation. Right? Those that have to live in that situation, then that's very unfortunate. Section 80. Vaishampayana said, then Kavya, the foremost of Bhrigu's line, became angry himself. Right? Up to now, he has just been pacifying her and this and that. And so now she's pacified and everything. And so now, you know, now it's also very clear where her stand is and everything. What she wants to do about it. That's what she wants to do about it. Her solution is leaving. So now he becomes angry. Then Kavya, the foremost of Bhrigu's lines, became angry himself, and approaching Vrishabhavan, where the latter was seated, began to address him without weighing his words. Right? In other words, you weigh your words means you're very careful what you say, what's being spoke. You don't weigh your words means as it is, you just say it. And the result, that the strong result that's there, you know is going to happen. Right? Because otherwise, normally speech is weighed. Right? But in this case, because he wants it to be strong, and because he's in the superior position, therefore he doesn't have to weigh his words. Right? Just like we said, like Devayani said, if the spiritual master does not really want to benefit the disciple, he lets him go on in his ignorance and nonsense. Right? And he weighs all his words and always just lets everything go. But if he actually cares, then without weighing his words, he will smash him and put him into his correct position. So a disciple that's in a good position understands that this is what's going on. And if they think, oh, why he's always getting angry, why he's getting upset with me, I'm this, I'm that, and so many things, then he has to readdress his position as a disciple and understand he drops himself a few notches. Does that make sense? Because the point is knowledge is like a sword, right? So if you use it nicely, then everything goes smooth. But if not, then it sometimes needs to be used quite strongly. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Because otherwise, the easiest thing for the spiritual master to do is not say anything. Right? He can focus on his own life, he can get his own you know, sadhana, he can try to uplift himself and not bother with trying to correct others who come up again and again and again with problems. Right? Just due to their own false ego and lack of good qualities. Right? So then to actually go interface with that, go through all the trouble and do all this stuff like Sukracharya is doing, you know, weighing everything, being careful about everything to like that, then, you know, then to make it work for them, then that's, they go out of their way. Otherwise they can say nothing, forgive, or speak a few nice little words just to brush it over and then leave it. Like that. You understand? There's a difference. It looks similar. You think, oh, I get upset, I get angry. So that's the easy part. Not getting angry is the hard part. Right? But then the other one is, as you advance more, it's easier to not get angry. It's more of a trouble to get involved. You know what I'm saying? You're attached. You have to get involved. But as you become not attached, it's easier to not get involved. Does that make sense? Okay. So Kavya said to Rishi Parvan, "O king," he said, okay. And approaching Rishi Parvan where the latter was seated, began to address him without weighing his words. "O king," he said, "sinful acts do not, like the earth, bear fruit immediately, but gradually and secretly do they extirpate their doers. Such fruit visiteth either one's own self, one's son, or one's grandson." Right? Sometimes sins are so great you won't see it, so everyone thinks it's fine. It'll come to your son or to your grandson. Right? So there might be things that, how you say, you're getting the result, but it's from your previous generations. Right? But don't then think, oh, it's nothing to do with me. But if it didn't have something to do with you, why were you born in that family? Right? In other words, you've done something to deserve it, but it's the kind of thing that doesn't come from you, it comes from somebody else. Does that make sense? Like that. But that's the whole point. If you see somebody prospering, they're doing nonsense, don't worry. Either that you're going to see them wiped out, their son wiped out, or their grandson wiped out. Within those three, it will happen. That's why it's always those three. Because also the Shraddha is only within those three. Right? So that connection is there between them. Okay? Sins must bear their fruit, like rich food. They can never be digested. And because ye slew the Brahmana Kacha, the grandson of Angiris, who was virtuous, acquainted with the precepts of religion, and attentive to his duties, while residing in my abode, even for this act of slaughter, and for the maltreatment of my daughter too, know, O Vrishaparvan, I shall leave thee and thy relatives. Indeed, O king, for this I can no longer stay with thee. Dost thou, O Asura chief, think that I am a raving liar? Thou makest light of thy offense without seeking to correct it. In other words, he killed the demon. I mean, he killed Kacha. And they did it three times. Right? So then he's saying, and this is a Brahmin of good character, a very powerful lineage. You know, and not only that, it's just not just any Brahmin just walking around. He's in under my care. So you're coming and bothering my people without even discussing with me. So how disrespectful is that? But basically he let it go because demons are demons. They're overwhelmed by their... And that was, wasn't the time to say anything. Right? It hadn't been going on before, so you leave it go. Hopefully we'll work it out here and there. But then we see that now another one's come up. Now it's gotten even close. Now you first you bother my disciples. Now you bother my daughter. So therefore it's just increasing. And so we're leaving. Right? And this is all within a short time. You know? Does that make sense? Something happens now, and then after a very long time, something happens again. Then after a very long time, then you can forgive it. But if it keeps increasing and getting closer and closer, then you can see that this is not improving. It's going down. Right? So since there's no respect for Sukracharya, therefore he's saying why I should be here, right? If he's not respected by the king, how he'll guide him. Vrishaparvan then said, O son of Bhrigu, never have I attributed want of virtue or of falsehood to thee. Indeed, virtue and truth ever dwell in thee. Be kind to me. O Bhargava, if, leaving us, thou dost go us hence, we shall then go into the depths of the ocean. Indeed, there is nothing else for us to do. Sukra then replied, Ye Asuras, whether ye go to the depths of the ocean or fly away to all directions, I care little. I am unable to bear my daughter's grief. My daughter is ever dear to me. My life. Yes, good. Here, whether you go here or there, right? But here is whether you go into the depths of the ocean or fly anywhere you want, right? So it's like the examples are so much greater. Right? I am unable to bear my daughter's grief. My daughter is ever dear to me. My life dependeth upon her. Seek ye to please her, as Brihaspati ever seeketh the good to Indra. So do I always seek thine by my ascetic merits. Vrishaparvan then said, O Bhargava, thou art the absolute master of whatever is possessed by the deep Asura chiefs in this world, their elephants, kine, horses, and even my humble self. Sukra then answered, If it is true, O great Asura, that I am the lord of all the wealthy Asuras, then go and gratify Devayani. Right? So now we see is a similar thing. Okay, he's seeing that here position is being lost, they're behaving badly, so he's saying, no, we're dependent upon you, everything like that. Right? And pointing out his greatness, we're dependent upon you. So he's saying, if you're dependent upon this, then prove it by going and correcting the situation that you yourself have created. Right? You have bothered my disciples, and now your daughter, by her training, is bothering my daughter. Right? Otherwise, many people would just speak nice words but won't do anything. Right? So that's useless. So just because they say it doesn't mean. It has to be something that can be done. Right? Vaishampayana continued, When the great Kavya was so addressed by Vrishaparvan, he then went to Devayani and told her all. Devayani, however, quickly replied, right, means she's been thinking, O Bhargava, if thou art truly the lord of the Asura king himself and of all his wealth, then let the king himself come to me and say so in my presence. Vrishaparvan, right, because in other words, her father, Devayani's father, has been insulted by Sarmishta, right? So now, this point here is Sukracharya and Vrishaparvan, they've worked it out. But now Devayani still has to work it out with Sarmishta. So when Sarmishta sees that her father goes and begs from Sukracharya, then Sarmishta has to say it's been worked. Otherwise, it's they worked it out, but between you and me, this is what's going on. Right? Between the girls. But now it's no. You've said my father begs from your father. Now you're going to see that your father is actually the one who begs from my father. Right? Just my father for things to go nicely and all that. And because of his nature, he lets him sit on this big seat and do all these things. Right? But he's able to do all these things because of Sukracharya. But for his ego as a Kshatriya, and for the populace who need to know that they have a great, powerful ruler, then he sits like that. Does that make sense? It's good for management, it's good for the individual. But no one should become proud of it and then misuse it. Right? Otherwise, we see when Kshatriyas do this, then Parasaram has a nice program for them. Right? Vrishabharvan then approached Devayani and told her, "Oh Devayani," a sweet smile. Well, this is even better. Not only did he's approaching the daughter. This is even better. Get it? Because it's okay. Your father begs from my father. No, it's the opposite. Actually, your father begs from my father. Not only does your father beg from my father, your father is going to beg from me. So where does that put you? Because if your father's my beggar, that means you're his beggar. So, you understand? So, this is serious. Okay. Vrishabharvan then approached Devayani and told her, "Oh Devayani of sweet smiles, whatever thou desirest, I am willing to give thee, however difficult it may be to grant the same." Devayani answered, now this is even better, right? "I desire Sarmishta with 1,000 maids to wait on me. She must also follow me to where my father may give me away." In other words, she with 1,000 maidservants, she'll be the head of all the maidservants, she'll be the head maidservant, but she goes where I'm married to, she goes with me. So that means she doesn't actually get her own husband. You understand? Because technically the maidservants, the husband of the mistress of the maid is technically the husband of the maids. You understand? But it's not their direct right. It's an indirect right. And they don't have husbands separately. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, when Devaki got married, she came with 2,000 maidservants. So those maidservants just live in the palace. So those 2,000 maidservants, they assist her in her relationship with her husband and her duties in the palace. So technically speaking, Devaki's husband, Vasudev, is their husband, but not directly. It's kind of a very hard relationship to explain. Right? Does that make sense? That's why when Yuyutsu is the son of one of the maidservants, right? But from a Vaishya background. So technically, he's his son, but because it's not from the queens, it's from maidservants, then they're counted as Shudranis. Right? Does that make sense? Or, Ambala? Ambalika. So Ambala, right? Then she sent her maidservant the second time Vyasadev came, because she just, you know, just, he wasn't cute enough for her, right? Like that. So, it's the son, right? Because it's a maidservant. Does that make sense? Otherwise, if the maidservant was married to someone else, her son would belong to her husband. Does that make sense? The king's wife has a maid. That maid has her own husband. If the king begets a son on that maidservant, that son belongs to the maid's husband, according to the law. But we never see that the maidservant's sons belong to someone else. They're always sons of the king. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, you were explaining different ways to beget a son. One was by begetting it on another woman.
Yes, but that's on another woman. But still, the child is the child of the woman's husband, not of the child who begat the child. Like Vyasadeva begat those children, but they're not called his children. Right? They're, what was his
name?
Vichitravirya's sons. That's why at the one time you see that, I think, if it's Arjuna or Krishna, someone addresses Dhritarashtra as the son of Vichitravirya. You know? But in a way meaning, you know, not only are you not a king because you're blind, you're not even technically the son of your father. You know? Though he is, but at the same time it's not the best. The best is aurasa, of one's own body. Right? Next best is this, son begotten, niyoga. Right? But it's kind of a weirdo thing, niyoga. It's used, but only in the first three yugas. This age, then it's not used. But Manu considers it kind of a, it's correct, but it's kind of a little weird. Right? But if need be used, it's used. But otherwise, it's not. Right? You see, is that Pandu and Satyavit, it means they're always trying something else first. Right? Then at the last, then they'll come up with this one. Does that make sense?
Huh. And earlier you had said that the son is a reflection of the father?
The son's a reflection of the father.
So in this case, would Dhritarashtra be a reflection of Vyasadeva or Vichitravirya?
Would he be a reflection of Vyasadeva or Vichitravirya? Means he'll carry the spirit of Vyasadeva. But the field is the wives of Vichitravirya. So they become his sons and they'll take on the wife's nature. You know, that's why the maidservant's son is considered a Shudra, because they take on the nature of the mother. Right? But what we're saying here is it's not illegal because the maidservants are technically the indirect wives of whoever is the mistress is married to. Right? So the point here we're making is by Devayani making the stipulation that she will come to me to whatever house my father gives me to, means she will not have her own separate husband. She will always be dependent upon me. Does that make sense? Right? So she was making the thing that you're junior to me, so it's like Devayani is made like the what do you call it? This is, I think in logic is called vidanda. You know, the final like crushing statement. You know, that just destroys the other person's argument and platform and everything. So this is it. She not only she got Sarmishta's father to come beg from her, he's also got that now she is going to be permanently her maidservant, in other words, her beggar. Right? Yes.
I wonder how it was explained to Sarmishta.
How it was explained. I don't know how the recent Parvan worked this one out, but I'm sure. Actually, we might even hear it. Let's see. But we might not. I mean, the point is it's this much. She is a Kshatriya, so it's not that she's stupid. And for a Kshatriya, the maintenance of the kingdom, protecting the subject. So if she doesn't do it, Sukracharya leaves all the Asuras. The whole dynasty is wiped out. Yes?
Is that fair?
Is it fair? Is it fair? If it's carried out to completeness, yes. But if it's not carried out to completeness, then no. Completeness would... Is it fair, the punishment she's getting? Well, to see, if you're taking that you could make this kind of statement to your guru, then very strong correctional measure is there. It means Sarmishta has, with angry eyes, insulted directly her guru. Right? Face to face. Not even behind his back. Face to face. Saying that he's a beggar of my superior. So that makes them my junior. In other words, she said Sukracharya is her junior. So that kind of mentality needs some really strong correctional method. One would have hoped that it would have been just taken more on the level of just, you know, girls have bad day. And so it's there. But at the same time, is we see that there's an underlying current, because it wasn't that he left it isolated, Sukracharya. He brought out the point that you also then insulted me by killing my disciple, right? Who was under my protection. It's another thing. He's left my protection. He's out there. Okay, it's open season. He's a demigod. Then it's open season. But he's under my care. How could you kill him? You don't have a right in my right. Ashram is separate from your kingdom. You've given it to a Brahmin. You have no right over it. You know what I said? So he's taking that there's a series of events here, so therefore he's not correcting it. But we see as the point is correctional. Once she's corrected the mentality, then it should be natural that Devayani would then be very kind. Because she is a Kshatriya. She's going to be married to Yayati. So that means that she should be brought from being a maidservant of hers to actually another queen of Yayati. So in one sense, she's setting her up, because otherwise she would marry some demon king. But now, technically, indirectly, Sarmishta will marry the emperor of the world, the son of Nahusha. So you can't get better than that. I mean, Sukracharya was very pleased to hear that that would be, you know, the arrangement of his daughter. Does that make sense? So in one sense, indirectly, she's working out something very nice for her, if she surrenders and gets the right attitude. And if not, then she'll be a maidservant, but in a very nice environment. Does that make sense? So from that attitude, it's severe. What we see is that we saw from in the beginning that you have gurus that...
what's his name?
Ayodhya Domya. Then he was very, very strict with his disciples. But they became very, very prominent from that. Then we saw Veda, who was one of his disciples. Because of that, he was just much more gentle with his disciples and didn't push them to that degree like that. So you see both of these kind of attitudes like that. So Devayani seems to be the more hardline kind of teacher. Is that okay? Yes. Didn't Sarmishta? Oh yeah, that's another point to add to it. Now that we retract this a bit, she actually, because when she walked off, she thought she was dead. That means she intended to kill her. So besides insulting her, and that she actually tried to murder a Brahmin, which there's nothing, no worse sin in the universe. So maybe that's. That is also the element. So here it is, her father is killing a Brahmin, and not only that, it was a Brahmin that Devayani wanted to marry, and then the daughter tries to marry, kill the daughter. So then you could say it's light punishment. You know, you could say it's light punishment. I didn't. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
But I'm looking at it from the other angle.
Another angle, yes.
Devayani got a special blessing that he got in touch with Yayati in this way. So then basically that was like very close bind immediately done by this very act. Throwing him into the well.
I see.
So that is special, it's uh-huh. a special benediction finally whatever.
Okay. Okay. Yes, but one would naturally what did you say? Okay. You would naturally see, that might be a side consequence. So that's more appreciated if it was done in a more proper way. But that was indirect. So she threw in a well. That was some other arrangement. Otherwise, she's supposed to marry someone like that. It would have happened in another way. In other words, she was active in it rather than inactive. You know, mentality. You know, this means two people are walking in two different directions with their dogs. right? And as they get there, then the two dogs see each other and go chasing each other, right? So that wraps up that man and woman, who then fall over into, you know, bushes. And this way, then they meet each other, and then eventually get married. So they could say, yes, by the grace of the dogs, they got married. But the dogs were not trying to do them harm. You know that one? Okay. You know what I'm saying? They weren't trying to do them harm. But here she was trying to kill her. But as a side benefit, then, you know, she got herself a husband. Like that. So you can... Yes? Maybe? Oh, because she cursed Kacha. Yeah. Because she... Points being made because she cursed Kacha. Then, therefore, then, you know, all this is... all part of it, because you could say is yes, because he said you can't marry a rishi, she'd have to marry a kshatriya, right? So then this is all part of the arrangement how she ended up marrying the kshatriya. Yeah, good point. Right, you understand? So karma comes through all kinds of interesting ways. Right? That's why one should be contemplative, and then one can understand. Okay. Rishabharvan, this is after Rishabharvan has heard what she said, right? You don't hear him go, ugh, or oh my god, or ask for something else, or, right? Isn't it? No. Rishabharvan then commanded a maidservant in attendance on him, saying, go quickly and bring Sharmista hither. Let her also accomplish what Devyani wisheth, right? So he just immediately said, so go get it done. Right? Point is, this is not going to be a bad situation for the daughter. Not necessarily ideal, but not bad. But the alternative is loss of the whole kingdom. Right? Vaishampayana continued. Yes?
Is that the principle that you sacrifice one person or even your wife?
It would be in the principle of you can save one person to save a family, a community, then a nation, a nation for the world and the whole world, to save yourself. So in other words, ultimately it means you can sacrifice all these things in the political field, but ultimately you give up the whole world to get out of the material world. In other words, all that, you just drop it. So, I mean, Rishabharvan could say, this is too much. Install his son on the throne. Take Sarmishta and head to the forest and become, you know, tapasvis. He could do that. Like that. But he won't. Yes? She has to be corrected. But then also, then she is a loss of the thing, and by austerity you can correct these things. Though, generally, the punishment for killing a Brahmin is very severe, like that. Only Brahmins generally, even that one, they get through it by austerity. Generally, everybody else is death penalty. Right? But the Brahmins are the only one that generally, it's the only ones that death penalty is not there. Because they will see what's wrong and be able to do the austerities to get over it. You know, that's why Krishna said to Arjuna, ah, nice, you'll run off to the forest, but as a kshatriya, just go to the forest, you'll start fighting there. You know, so it's not that you're going to go there and live the life of a peaceful Brahmin. You can't. Right? He wants to do that, then they do that as Narnarayan Rishi. But as Krishna Arjuna, then they go out and make some trouble. Right? Does that make sense? Vaishampayana continued. The maidservant then repaired to Sarmishta and told her, O amiable Sarmishta, rise and follow me. Accomplish the good of thy relatives. Urged by Devayani, the Brahma Sutra is on the point of leaving his disciples, the Asuras. O sinless one, thou must do what Devayani wisheth. Sarmishta replied, I shall cheerfully do what Devayani wisheth. Urged by Devayani, Sukra is calling me. Both Sukra and Devayani must not leave the Asuras through my fault. In other words, she understood what was wrong. She's smart. It means passion overwhelmed her, which was wrong. And due to pride, she hadn't gone to Devayani. Probably just time-wise, because Devayani didn't come back. So she wouldn't have had time to meet. So she understands the whole thing. So she's probably already understood all this before. She would have heard things that already know the things were going on. Right? So then this is correct. This is Kshatriyas, right? Brahmin, Kshatriyas. So things are working according to Shastra. Vaishampayana continued. Oh, and you also notice here is that the maidservant said, what is there? Accomplish the purpose. She's already giving something that's happening. Right? It's not that, oh, you're going to become this. It changes her identity, right? Oh, you have to become the maidservant of Devayani. Right? That changes her nature. That's sattva. No, accomplish the good of your relatives means that relationship is continued and she's able to get something done. You see the difference? Right? So one has to be very careful where to use kriya, where to use sattva. Does that make sense? Right? So that depends on what it is we get. Yeah, so it depends on the mood. Right? So accomplishment will be based on the mood. Same time as, your circumstances create the mood. Right? You have a place, one circumstance, then one mood is there, another circumstance, another mood is there. Right? So the place is not creating the mood. Right? But the place is where accomplishment is done. Right? So they're all connected. It's just which one you're emphasizing, then you bring out. Vaishampayana continued, commanded by her father then, Sarmishta, accompanied by 1,000 maidens, soon came in a palanquin out of her father's excellent mansion. And approaching Devayani, she said, with my 1,000 maids, I am thy waiting maid. Right? So she came. She came in her palanquin, because she is a kshatriya, like that. So Devayani is not trying to humiliate her in that way. She just, even though she has all the opulence, she has 1,000 maids, the maids are hers. But she is Devayani's. You understand? And I shall follow thee where thy father may give thee. And Devayani replied, I am the daughter of one that who chanteth the praises of thy father, and who beggeth and accepteth alms. The last little... Thou, on the other hand, art the daughter of one who is adored. How canst thou be my waiting maid? Has to rub it in. Sarmishta answered, one must by all means contribute to the happiness of one's afflicted relatives. Therefore I shall follow thee wherever that thy father may give thee away. Vaishampayana continued, when Sarmishta thus promised to be Devayani's waiting maid, the latter, O king, then spoke unto her father thus, O best of all excellent Brahmins, I am gratified. I shall now enter the Asura capital. I know now that thy science and power of knowledge are not futile. Right? Because he got this done. Otherwise, then it doesn't. Right? Vaishampayana continued, that best of Brahmanas, of great reputation, thus addressed by his daughter, then entered the Asura capital in the gladness of his heart, and the Danavas worshipped him with great reverence. Right? So, doesn't matter who you are, but know it that your women are a very powerful influence on how things go. On Sukracharya, who controls all of us, is controlled by his daughter, then why others are not going to be controlled by theirs? Right? Okay. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Today's Thursday, right?
It's Friday.
Today's Friday. Oh, today's Super Day. Wow. We read his story on his day.
To what extent can the king give away? Because if Devayani would have asked something which is not exactly related to him, like to the subjects, would it be able to do it?
You'd have to see. They'd have to see what it is. It'd have to be, you'd have to do something specific, because everything changes according to the specifics. You know what I'm saying? Something may be one way with one situation changes to something else. Yeah.